All right. We've been talking about a subject a few times now, and we're talking about how to be led by God. Why don't we get to some scripture this morning? Romans 8:16 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Proverbs 20:28, also that we use a lot of times, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Your belly is your inside, the spirit of man. So we have to, as a spirit being, we need to search on the inside of ourselves. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God uses your spirit to get information to you. The spirit of man is the candle. So if you're going to get light or be enlightened on the subjects that you're concerned about, you're going to have to take time. And this is where we're all missing it, or some are still missing it. We've been missing. And that is that you have to take time to begin to search your own heart, to be honest, and to, you know, make that assessment. But before you actually can truly do that properly, you have to know the basics. And sometimes people think that, you know, their spirit or their soul is something that is a message from God. When your soul is being active, you're experiencing feelings, or we say feelings and emotions because those feelings and emotions actually are two separate things. And we use those words interchangeably, but, you know, to be accurate, they're not the same. And we have to understand the matter on this. So, Romans 8:16 or 15 says the spirit of, it says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you can look at it this way, and that is that every child of God, you can say it this way, every child of God is led by God's Spirit. Now let's all say that together. Say, every child of God, or just say, I am spirit led. Say, I am led by the Spirit of God. So God, you know, we live so much in the intellectual realm. We live in the world of the intellect, academics. How many people know that academics has its limits? If the doctor told you you're going to die in 6 months' time, no need to get out your calculator and do some math or start to think on your head. You have to begin to commune with God and find out what you need to do if you're going to live, if you have to make some changes in your life. You see, some people die early or get into trouble because they don't listen to their spirit. They don't listen to God. They make wrong choices. Practice something that they shouldn't be doing, and get in with the wrong crowd, and don't make simple changes. There's so many things that you can actually talk about in that sense. You know, I know there's ones in the Bible that God told that was a basic information, but they began to search God. They began to ask God, "What should I do?" And so, much of the time we live in the intellectual realm, or what we call the natural realm, to find signs that whether God is talking to us. We look to the signs outside of us, when actually the sign should be on the inside of us, and God's speaking to every one of us. And because we don't take the time to separate ourselves and get along with God and talk to God and ask God what's going on, then we're going to continually be lost if we don't do that. Even in the midst of trying times, didn't Jesus say in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world, the second part of that verse of scripture, in this world you shall have tribulation. But soon as some have tribulation, in John chapter 4, or Mark chapter 4, verse 19 and 18, and all of those scriptures down there, it says in there that soon as individuals get into trouble in life, whether it's having hard time, just a hard time in life, because of the worries and the pressures in life, people fall away. Because they have no root in themselves. They have nothing to hang on to when the storms hit. We also mentioned the fact that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 27 there and 26, that the storms of life will hit all of us. Anybody ever had a storm? The Bible says in Acts 27, the Apostle Paul had a storm, but he had a word before that, that they should not go in a certain direction, and they went in a certain direction, and Paul had a witness, but they didn't believe him, they believed someone else instead, and they went ahead anyway. How many of you ever had a witness, you thought you shouldn't have gone a certain direction, bought a certain product, and then you found out down the road, it's a wrong turn? And we found that in Acts 27, those people that made that wrong turn, it cost them. And if we don't listen to our spirit, it's going to cost us. Amen. It might even cost you your life. It might even cost you someone else's life because you didn't stop and reflect and made those changes. We can't expect changes in our lives if we don't make the change. If you don't make some drastic changes. You know, so we have to change certain things. So the Bible instructs us that the devil is going to do everything he can in the natural to get you off course. And how he does that is he attacks you in your mind. He'll attack you and give you many mental pictures of disaster and evil and so forth. And that's why Paul says in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians how to think. He asks us to think positively, not because just to ease the pain, but to help us get in the right direction. So we need to look at these things very carefully so that we can follow God. We can follow His Spirit, and people making decisions based on culture, based on economics, based on social, fads are today, and what, you know, the what people think deem as important. And so we can't make decisions just on that. We have to make decisions the way Scripture encourages us to do that. Is it easy? No, it's not easy making decisions and following God, because sometimes you'll have to take the harder route to get to where you're going. And sometimes we avoid, there's two things about, there's the extreme where we think that everything bad that's happening to you can't be God. Well, when you make a right turn, sometimes you'll meet opposition and the devil is going to try to put pressure on you to stop you from making the right decision, to stop you from following Him, to stop you from following God's direction. And so you go in a certain direction, and the devil stops you. What does James say? Resist the devil. James 4:7, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you'll feel resistance is pressure. And Jesus said in Matthew 4 that the devil is going to put pressure on you. The pressures of life takes people off course, out of God's will, into the devil's hands, into no man's land. He wants to get you off into the permissive will of God. Well, God will allow you to do what you want to do. He'll allow you. You can even pray yourself out of the will of God. We see that examples in the Bible that people prayed persistently enough to want something, and God says, okay, if you want it that way, then you go ahead that way. And they went that way, and they got into trouble. That's found over there in 1 Samuel chapter 8. We'll look at that later on down the road. They said, we want a king like other nations. God says, no, you can't have a king. So we want to, and they said, well, tell them what's going to happen if you have a king. If you have a king, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. No, we don't care. We want a king. And they went ahead. God says, okay, Samuel, go tell the people that they can have their king. They can have what they want. And Samuel went to them and told them, yes, okay, you can have. Here's your king. You can have your king. And they got into a mess. So we can pray ourselves and get ourselves out of the will of God because we persistently want something because we want to be like everybody else, or we want to go a certain direction because that's the fad of the society or because it's the most popular thing to do, you know, and then you get into trouble. And people are wondering why they're not having peace because they don't know whether or not they're in the will of God or not. They give money to the church. They don't know whether or not it's God's will for them to give money. And so down the road, they get mad at the church. They get mad at me or whatever. They get mad at God. No, you got to make sure what you're doing is God's will, first of all. Don't give anything if you don't think it's God's will. You're going to get mad at me or mad at the church. You decide whether or not it's God's will for you. Don't do it for pressure. Do it because you believe this is the way you should do it. And be a man or woman at the end of the thing there and said, I made the decision, that's my responsibility, I did it. No sense in blaming people. And so, you know, in tough times, and tough times will come, we've seen that so many times, you know, James chapter 1 says that, when you come into diverse temptations, tests and trials, you know this, count it all joy, you know, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, well, your faith it will be tried. Everything you believe is going to be tested. If you believe that you should come to Faith City Church, well, get ready for some tests because you'll find some tests whether or not you're going to be here or not you should be here. It's not about convenience coming to this church. Because I didn't find it convenient to come here. I didn't find it convenient to start a church, to be a pastor. It wasn't convenient for me to not have finances, to do without, to have nobody stand beside me. When I felt that God told me to go a direction, no one told me, no one laid their hands on me and said, here's what you need to do, here's several thousand, you get you started here, you're a nice man. No, you're not going to get that. You might have to stand alone in your family for several years maybe. Even after you make some decisions, somebody might walk off on you, but you made a decision, you became a man or woman of integrity and you followed the direction of your heart. Not the popular opinion. So we see those examples in there. The Bible says that Jesus said that trouble will come to all of us, and following God will get you into trouble because the devil is going to give you that trouble because he don't want you to follow God's plan for your life because your life can affect so many people. Your one decision is going to affect a lot of people for Jesus, and he don't like that. Right? Yeah. And some people are thankful you're saved because they say, well, thank God we have no more trouble with him anymore. He's saved and he's in church. He's safe. You know, I remember my mom used to be so happy when my brothers were in jail. Oh, thank God they're in jail. Because the police are not knocking at the door saying, you know, we have your son over here. He's all cut up and bruised up and beaten up, and he's in jail, all right, but we had to give him, show him a lesson. And so, you know, some people are happy that you're saved, but a lot of times they're not, because then your life tells them that their life is wrong because you're saved. So Jesus says, in this world, Matthew 16:31, in this world you will have tribulations. That's tests, trials, pressures. In James 1, it says that the count it all joy when you follow diverse temptations, tests, and trials. That's James 1 and 2. Count it all joy. I'll tell you, it doesn't feel joyful when you have trouble. Huh? How many of you are just so happy you got trouble? No, it's trouble. The test is there. The test is there. I know when I went to school for many years, and I wasn't always happy to have an exam for math. You know, I just, I got math exam. Oh, I'm so happy. I didn't like it. So there's tests in life that's going to come to all of us. Amen. And we're going to be tested on things that you believe in. Because it says in James 1 and 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you follow the divers temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the proving of your faith, proving, that word proving is in the Greek word, means that there's going to be a testing of your faith, worketh patience. The word patience gives us the idea in the word there. Patience is the word perseverance. So our faith will help us persevere to the end of the final outcome of what faith always does, and that is it always has a good outcome. Amen. And so the devil wants to stop you from moving to God and for God and to follow his will, so that he can stop you right in your tracks, so that the will of God will not be, you know, fulfilled. If you haven't had a test yet, you will have some tests. So I'm just getting you ready, because Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, he talked about two people. And two people there, one built his house on the word of God, and the other didn't. The one that built his house on the word of God, he called the one that built his house on a rock. He said the storms of life will come, the rains will come, the rain is going to come, the wind is going to come. He's talking about all those things of adversity in life will come to you. Isaiah says, when you walk through the waters, you'll not be drowned. When you go through the fires, you'll not be burned. That's what Isaiah says. You know, and so Jesus said, those two people, they were given the word, but one didn't do the word, and one did the word. Yeah. So God tells you beforehand, he gives you enough instruction. He said there's trouble ahead, maybe 5 years down the road, maybe 10 years, maybe 7 years, maybe 20 years down the road. And he's given you time right now to develop your life, so that when the time comes, you know that I'm going to stand. Amen. He's getting you ready. So you say, where's God when I have my trouble? We talked about that on Wednesday. Where's God when in the time of my trouble? Well, he's there all the time. He's been there right from the beginning. He said, I knew you before you're born. Yeah. I knew you before you're born. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. That's what he said, Jeremiah chapter 1. I knew you before you were even born. It says that God prepared a life for us, a good life. Ephesians 2 and 10 says that God prepared a good life for us. The life of enjoyment. God didn't plan one failure in your life. He did not plan one day of sickness, one day of sick leave. That's why I don't like to take sick leave in my work. There's no sick leave. If I take a day off, I take a day off. I don't call and I'm sick today. See you. You just might get sick. So, you know, the devil, he wants to destroy your faith in God. So your test is going to come by being attacked in what you believe. Some of you are believing, you're being attacked right now, whether you believe in healing, whether you believe in prosperity, financial prosperity, or any prosperity, you're being tested in your relationships. And that test is maybe really strong. And if you just walk by your senses, you're going to believe everything you see. You're going to believe everything you feel. And you're going to believe everything everyone else is saying because you believe the majority report and not what God says. So, guidance through the inner man. Everybody say, guidance through the inner man. That's my introduction. Okay, so, is that okay? Is that a good introduction? Come on, let me give me a hand, everybody. See, I have to ask for help too. Siri is talking to me. You know Siri? She says, okay, what do you want, Rama? How many of you know Siri? How many of you know Siri? Yeah? You ever talk to Siri? Does she answer you? Siri, where's my shoes? I said to her, Siri, I love you. Oh, Roma, you're foolish. Ever try that? How many of you ever try that? I said, I love you, Siri. Don't be silly, she says. That's true. Dabwe. Okay. Let's put that up there. Romans 8. 8:16, do we have someone back there to help me? I see a head. Let's all say this together. So we're going to go to, Miss Kelly, we're going to go to Proverbs 20:27. Okay, everybody, 1, 2, 3. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Go to 14 first. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Come on, one more time. So, what that scripture is saying, he's expecting every one of us to be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit is inside of you to lead you. That's what this scripture is saying. The Holy Spirit, his main function right now in life is to lead you and to guide you. I want you to put up there Romans or John 16:13. So he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, here are sons of God. So we are to be led by God's Spirit. And let's go to that scripture in John. This is Jesus talking. John chapter 16, verse 13. Let's go read it together. 1, 2, 3. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Listen, stop right there. He will guide you into all truth. So his responsibility is to guide you into what matters most to God about your life. So he said he will guide you into some truth, all truth. There are some things in your life, perhaps maybe you're living a lie, pretending you're 130 pounds when you're 400 pounds. But that's a lie, okay? Maybe you're doing things there. You're lying so much about your life that sometimes you can't tell. You know, he's want to teach you everything. He wants to tell you about stuff. You're complaining about your being sick. He's telling you, to do something about your life. It's not all about the devil. The Holy Spirit will tell you different things if you're stressed out. He says, go take a walk. He said, "Well, I don't want to walk. It's cold outside. Put a jacket on." So I tell my wife. She says, "Let's go for a walk." She says, "It's too cold. There's a wolf out there." You might as well just say that, right? You might as well say, "There's a wolf out there." Well, let's kill it and let's go on our way. So the Spirit of Truth will guide you into all truth. Now let's go ahead. For he shall not speak of himself. So he does speak, doesn't he? Well, how does he speak? Does he say, Hello, Sterling. Is that you, Holy Spirit? Sounds like him. So he does speak. Where does he speak? He speaks in your heart. And because our soul is much, much louder, because our soul is, the volume is blasted so high that your spirit is such a small little voice. Me, 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 me. And your soul is going, ah! Your soul is like that, and your spirit is going, me, 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 me. And so that's what your soul, you know, your soul is so loud. And your body has feelings, and he says like this, I'm tired. I'm thirsty. I'm sleepy. And your soul says, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. He says, especially you ever notice that if you go pray, if you say, I'm going to pray, oh, I'm going to pray. And you might take an hour, but you only prayed 5 minutes. And all, most of the time you think about praying while you're in your prayer time. And think about everything else except the prayer time. And so the Spirit of God speaks. He's speaking right now. But what happens to people is because their soul is so loud, they can't hear God. And because they overrode their spirit so many times, they never pay attention to it because if you override the voice of your spirit for so long, that becomes indistinctive. Because you no longer trust that inner voice. So he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Now, he's being God. You know, this is just the same way Jesus said, you know. He said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me. He said, I don't heal anybody. I don't cast the devil out. I don't go to another town unless the Father tells me. That's what Jesus said. And the same way Jesus was led is the same way you and I are going to be led. And yes, he had some impact of spiritual encounters. And he had only 3 years of life there, I mean, as a man to do his ministry, right? So, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. This is the second speak of him. He'll speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, he'll show you what's going to happen in your life. He tell you, listen, and you keep overriding this. You keep that direction, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, no, that's, I got to pray against that. I'm going to stand in faith. No, he's telling you. God can give us direction, but if we keep overriding that, and say, oh, I'm going to pray against it, I'm going to pray against it. No, he's saying, Lord, you need to make some changes. So, Proverbs 20:27, one more time. I know we've gone there several times before. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears the Father speak, he will show you things to come. That's what he says there. So Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So your spirit has to search for answers on the inside that God's trying to transfer over to you. It's like your mind thinks about stuff that's inside your mind. They say your mind is like a tape recorder, records everything, right? So, let's give these points. From these two scriptures, Romans 8:14, we see in verse 16, we read one of the very first scripture, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit also, it says, the Spirit also bears witness with our spirit. In other words, you're going to know something, and the Holy Spirit is going to say, yes, you're on the right direction. Amen. See, you know something, but also the Spirit will also bear witness. Yes. Not just Holy Spirit, but you're responsible too. You're going to know something, the Spirit is going to say, yep, you're in the right direction. So, On Wednesday, we said there are times in your life. I know, there's people who look for direction everywhere. They'll go to some learned people or so-called spiritual people, and they'll get direction from those people. And they base all their direction on what those guys said. In the Christian world with prophets and stuff, prophets are not given to us to give us direction. Prophets in the New Testament are not to direct the church. They're not there to tell the church what to do and how to do things. The prophets in there, they'll have some revelation. Now they'll give us information God's already told us. Prophets are not given to the church to lead the church. No ministry gift is given to the church to lead the church per se, to tell them what to do. God's going to tell us what to do. And I saw a lot of people who are misled over the years. They follow different directions of the people and so-called spiritual leaders. But everybody has the Spirit in them, if you're honest. Let me just go back to one scripture just to show you a point, because a lot of times, God will allow you to make certain decisions, even though it's not right for you. He'll allow you to go a certain direction because He can't stop you. He's given you a free will. He's not going to force you to follow Him to do this thing. He said, okay, if you want to go that direction, your flesh, your soul wants to go that direction. And if you follow your soul, and if you follow your flesh, you're going to go that direction. And so let's go to, this is one of my favorite scriptures on this, and that is, it's about spiritual growth. I use the scripture on spiritual growth a lot of times, but it tells us something, that when God wants to speak to us, if your emotions, if you're running on anger, if you're running on resentment, if you're running on motives that are not godly, and you're going in a certain direction, you will not hear God because your soul is king, not your spirit. And we'll go to this next thing for a moment. Let's go to that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verses 1 to 3. Let's look at that verse of scripture. It'll give us an idea here about having our motives wrong and we can't hear God. And God will even get people in your life to help you with that and support, give you counsel and, confirm what's already in your heart. And so we see here, Paul 1-3 says, "And I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now, Paul was their pastor. Paul was their founder of the church, and he was the one that God sent to them to establish them, give them the message of the salvation, message of Jesus Christ, being born again and coming to God and repenting and so forth. And then he spent about 4 to 5 years with the Corinthian church to talk, to raise them up. He was their missionary. And so God sent them to those people to raise them up. And as you know, if you study history, you understand about the Corinth church was a central part of that, part of the area. And it was like kind of like New York, how New York is, and people would come. It was like an area where the worlds met, and there was all kinds of exchange of culture and thinking and different things like that. And how many people know when you get cultures mixing and thinking that you can get all kinds of mishmash in the way of living? How many people know that cultures never stay the same? How many people know that we understand that cultures don't always stay the same, because cultures evolve and they change because they borrow from different people and things change. And it doesn't remain the same. It's in a state of continual flux and go through phases. So Paul says, "And I, brethren," he says, "I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual." He said, "I could not talk to you as spiritual people or as mature people." He said, "But as unto carnal people, even as babes in Christ." They couldn't talk about things that really mattered. He'd only fellowship with them to a certain degree. Now watch this, verse 2. He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. They couldn't take a certain kind of spiritual diet because they've already had, were stuck in a certain level. It wasn't Paul's fault. It wasn't God's fault. God wanted to talk to them. God wanted to lead them, but he could not lead them. How many people know that people, perhaps in this church right now, people that are watching online right now, God wants to talk to them and give them information about their future, about how to make changes in their lives, but God cannot talk to them because their soul is taking the ascendancy over their spirit or their flesh, their physical body, its needs are taking ascendancy over the spiritual part of their life, that all that is, matters to them is the natural part of their living. Or whatever they want to do. Our physical beings, we're not to be led that way. God doesn't lead us by our flesh. So he says, neither are you able. They weren't able to hear from God because Paul was trying to get them. Or Peter, verse 3 says this. For you're yet carnal, whereas it's among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you yet carnal and walk as men? To Amplify, it says, you're walking like unregenerate men, unsaved men, people who don't even have, you're walking like you're not even saved. He's saying there, you can take a Christian, a born-again Christian that's spirit-filled, talks in tongues, and you take someone who doesn't even know God, and you put them together, and you look at them, you couldn't tell the difference if one is saved, one is not. And yet there is a distinction, there is a difference. Big difference as far as God's concerned. He's saying there that God wanted to talk to them, but their carnality was taking over their lives. They could not hear from God. Now, let's just understand, say this, that we need to say this. God will enlighten you or guide us by our inward man, our spirit man. We are to be led by the inside out. We are not to go to people to ask for what we should do in our life. Now, sometimes we need to ask, for direction because we really don't know. If you really don't know, you really don't know. But that's not how you're supposed to follow everything in your life. Should I marry John? Yeah, go ahead, marry him. He's a nice man. Should I buy this car? Yeah, it's a good car. Go ahead and buy it, man. My cousin had one of those. Buy one, yeah. And you buy that car. You think I should go to church and this church or that church? Well. So, let's find out here. He says, many times people will seek guidance in their lives except the way God prescribed it. They'll go to any other length to find guidance in their life except the way God said to do it. We're to be spiritual in our life, and yet people have become so carnal, they cannot get direction from God. They're not confident that God spoke to them. They're not confident that God is leading them a certain direction. Many, many other times we seek guidance from the mental standpoint or the psychological or our mind. God said he would guide us through our hearts, our inward heart. Romans 8 and 16 and Proverbs 20:27 says, man, first of all, you have to understand this, that man is a spiritual being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible goes on to say, Paul said to those people that man first is a spiritual being. And that man possesses a soul, and he lives in a physical body. And the part that's been born again is the spirit of man, the man on the inside, the core of man is the spirit of man. And when you got born again, you invited God to come and live, and the Godhead come to live in your spirit. You're the tabernacle now. He lives inside of us by his God the Son. Father, it lives in us by the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Hebrews 12:9 says that God is the Father of all spirits. He's our Father. As a father, you want to give direction to your children, don't you? And he wants to give direction so much to all of us. And Hebrews 12 says that, Hebrews 12, 4 and 12 says that the spirit and the soul are two different things. The spirit and the soul is not the spirit, and the spirit is not the soul. See, a lot of people think the soul and the spirit are the same thing, but the Bible tells us, revelation knowledge tells us it's a different thing. It's a different thing at all from man. Man is only has only three parts. The soul has the intellect, the emotions, the mind, and the will. Okay. So the intellect. That's why we have to you understand this, that James says your soul is not saved. That when you get born again, your soul is a continual process of being saved every day. The word saved in James chapter 1 is actually the word restored or renewed. It's the same word that is used in Romans chapter 12 when Paul says that we renew our mind. And the same word that's used in the 23rd chapter of the Psalms, where it says that he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And God restores your emotions. Like some people have been damaged through their lifetime because they're growing up, maybe perhaps some abuse happened to them. Maybe they've been neglected by their parents. Maybe there's all kinds of stuff. God knows what happens in families. You can't change that. You can't go back and make someone pay for something they did. You cannot, in a million years, you could not force someone to pay for what they did. Never. And you cannot do anything to change your life as well, what you did in the past. So to go on harping and try to make somebody do something and to change your life, it will never happen. Never. So we have to forgive. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you're going to buddy up with them tomorrow and be their best friend. You say, I'll forgive you, but I refuse to work with you at this moment. I was talking to someone the other day about making decisions about they were falling into a certain kind of situations. They're born again, spirit-filled, but they keep falling into certain kinds of practices in their life. We'll call them sins. And said, I know I'm born again, and I have these things that I do. I keep falling into these areas here. I said, well, I want to get rid of them. Well, you can control those things, but you'll never forever get rid of them as long as you're in this world. If we had to get rid of it, it means you'd have to pray that you die right now and go to heaven. Because your flesh, you'll have a new body one day, it'll be redeemed. But your flesh, okay, I lost a lot of you right here. Okay, I'm going to, because we say flesh, I'm sorry about using that term, because we don't understand about the flesh. Basically, it's the urges, the physical urges of the body. Okay? How many people know that your body talks to you? Huh? It says, I wanna smoke. I want a hot dog. Okay, you're praying, Oh Jesus. I want a hot dog. I'm hungry. And you're fighting with your physical body. I'm tired and I'm bored. And it bothers you. So you will never get rid of certain things. Maybe say you had a certain area in your life as a unbeliever before. Now you're saved. Sometimes after you get saved, those things go away for a while. You're so happy about Jesus and no cares in the world. After a while, that kind of wears down a little bit. And then you find out this is coming back to you. The way you used to be before you're saved, all of a sudden you want to go back to that old way of doing things. Because you haven't renewed your mind yet to say no, and you have no self-control. It's like 1 Peter says that we have to build into our lives self-control. And it's like Galatians says that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It takes a while. It only takes the Spirit of God and the Word to make that change in us. And it all helps us make good decisions. Right? Are you still here? Or are you thinking about Turkey? Now we have 6 minutes left. What should we do? Okay, so, you know, we have, you know, we want to be, we want God to lead us and direct our lives. I feel that I have to start, you know, to go right back. I studied so many things over the several months on this area, and I keep going back to the same things. Because I feel that that's where we have to be. We'll go over the same things if we have to go through the same thing again. Now, your spirit being, everybody say, I'm a spirit being. I possess a soul, and I live in a physical body. So man, Scripture tells us, we're only three parts. We're not four parts. We're not mind, soul, you know, those are the same thing. They're the same thing. So your soul has those qualities about it, or those, you know, characteristics about them. So, you know, you're only three parts. There's no other part. You're a spirit being, you possess a soul, and you live in a physical body. You don't have two bodies. You have only one soul, you're a spirit being. So if we're going to be led by God, we're going to have to understand that we're three parts. And God lives in one part. He don't live in your soul. He don't live in your body. Although your spirit is inside your body, it's the central part of your being, and God's going to speak to us in the central part of our being. We don't look over there for answers or over here for answers. We look on the inside. Lord, what are you saying to me? It takes time to develop that. So man is a spiritual being. He is just like God. Man, God, Genesis says that God says, let's make man in our own image. He's the father of spirits, Hebrews 4:12 says. Or excuse me, Hebrews 12:9. And that the soul is different from the spirit man. We are threefold in nature. We have to understand that conscience is the voice of the human spirit. Everybody say, conscience is the voice of the human spirit. So when you do wrong or want to do right, your conscience tells you, okay, don't do that. Maybe you shouldn't say that anymore. And if you override it, you keep overriding that voice, then that voice will become indistinct. You won't be able to hear that, especially when you need to. You keep saying no to it. It's override. You keep doing the wrong, and all of a sudden you can't tell the difference. And what happens with people is they live wrong, and their spirit on the inside gets all messed up. There's all kinds of unforgiveness in there, anger, resentment, and hate, lusts, wrong motives inside there. And then when they want to hear from God, it's blocked. You have to take time to repent, get that out. Sometimes you don't want to. You're fighting with that thing. It takes you days. That's why it takes time for people, hard time for people to hear from God, because they have to deal with their own soul until they get that cleared up. They feel sorry for themselves. Why does this happen to me? And you got to work through that. It takes time. And as I said, there's going to be times in your life where you're going to want to hear from God. You need to hear from God today. You need to hear from God in a 24-hour, 48-hour period, or a week. You need to hear from God. And if we keep living like how we've been living, we'll never, ever hear from God the way we should be. We're not conscientious of the Spirit of God in us enough to and strong enough spiritually to make a decision right then and there. It takes some time. So conscience is the voice of the spirit. We're going to see that as we study in this series. Feelings are the voice of the physical body. Your body, your physical body has a voice, its feelings. It has certain motivations. And your emotions is the voice of your soul. And so this is where people, their emotions are a voice of their soul. And so when they're making decisions, they make, oh, how do I feel about that? And so they make a decision on how they feel. Oh, they make a decision tomorrow. I'll see how I feel tomorrow. How many of you ever said that? Let me see your hand. You said that. I'll wait till I feel. Yeah, we've all done it. All of us have done it. Oh, I'll see how I do tomorrow. And that's how lots of people that I know that I work with said, I don't know, I'm not going to go. You got to make a clear decision, right, Paul, about the Leaf game? Amen. Yes, me and him are going to a Leaf game. I don't mind telling you about that. He bought a ticket for me. I don't need a word from God. The Leaf love God. Leafs love God. God love, right? God loves it. Let's go ahead and stand up. We'll come back to this again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, God is my Father. That's pretty weak. There's about six of you said, God's my Father. Let's all say this together now that you're standing up. Say, God is my Father. I am His very own child. He's going to speak to me every day. He's going to lead me into all truth. Everything I need to know about my life, God will put in my heart. I follow the witness. I follow my heart. Thank God for confirmation. Thank God for my friends who tell me good things that help me to guide my life. But mostly, I follow my spirit. Thank God. My mind is being renewed. My mind is being sure of things because of the Spirit of God. I do not lead my life by my flesh. I do not make decisions based on how I feel or what my body tells me. My body is healed, even though I have symptoms in my body. God says, I'm healed. I have emotions. I do not listen to my emotions. I can feel any way I want to feel. I choose to feel good about the things of God. Say, God is good. The devil is bad. But I make good decisions. He's the good Holy Spirit. And He will lead me in all areas of my life. Let's go ahead and praise Him. Father, we want to thank You right now. Oh, go ahead and praise Him. Thank You, Lord. We're making better decisions than ever. Thank You. Thank You, Father. You are so good to me. We love You. We appreciate You. Thank You, Father. You are wonderful, Lord. Wonderful. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. I want to pray for you that are watching on live stream right now. If you're here watching this message today, I want to let you know if you're never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the opportune time right now. God has afforded this opportunity, this time, for you to come to God. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Don't put it off. Now is the accepted time. You might not have it tomorrow. You might not have an opportunity. You might have it tomorrow, but not an opportunity. So God, Lord, touch that person right now in the name of Jesus. Say this prayer. Say, God, come into my life right now. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. Save me. I cannot save myself. Help me with my fears. Help me with my addictions. Help me with my trials and my troubles. I want to follow You. I want to change my life. If you made that decision today, give us a call. Let us know. We want to help you. We want to send you information to help you develop your life spiritually. And give us a call. Tell us, tell someone or tell someone around you that you made a decision to follow Jesus today. And those of you that are sick right now in physical body, I want to pray for you right now. Those of you that are in here right now, I want you to lift your hands up if you're sick in your physical body, that God wants to heal everyone. He's never wanted anyone to be sick. Father, I want to thank you. In just simple faith, I believe that no one should be suffering pain. You said you died for our infirmities, bruised for our iniquities, by stripes that we are healed. I want to thank you that you take away our pain in the physical realm or in the intellectual or in the soul realm. Pain that's been there because of bad damages or decisions or things done to them when they're children or young people or even in their adult age, things that people have said to them, decisions that made them hurt. Take that away, Lord, as you lift it up to you in the name of Jesus. And we pray for every person here that has a care and has a worry. Worry about their finances. Worry about their family members. Worry about their husbands and wives. Worry about different areas. So I want to thank you. We lift our cares to you right now. Father, you said don't worry about anything, but cast every prayer on me. Cast every care on me. Cast every anxiety in the name of Jesus. And so we cancel out every assignment on the people of God here, right now. We cancel every assignment to try to kill and to steal and destroy. And so we thank you, angels of God, go forth and cause blessings to come to the people. Go forth and make open the ways for people to come out of situations. Go forth and cause money to come to them. Go forth and cause the young child to come home. So we praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Now I want to ask you right now, if you're in here right now, we prayed for people to be saved. If you need